Before we open it up to you guys for questions, there is a topic that I had here as if we need a little bit of extra time I wanted to talk about, but now that those people on the radio can't hear us anymore and we can just open up with just our friends here in the room, there is some exciting news about the future plans for Sager Broadus, and I want you to tell us about the Sager Broadus Foundation and what that's going to be about.
We have just formed the Sager Broadus Foundation just this past month, and a building has been acquired, and the early steps have been made to start a modern art museum here in Columbia. So this is early, information, and probably realistically is about 10 years down the road by the time the foundation is fully formed and the board and the building is modified. But it'll be in the North Village. It'll be in downtown.
All right.
It will feature some modern and contemporary work, but primarily mid-century modern work. And it's really going to happen.
That's very cool.
It's underway.
I was talking about our friends, with my friends from the Unbound Book Festival, but when we talk about the film festival, the art opportunities here, a wonderful symphony orchestra for a city of 120,000 people, we've got some really wonderful opportunities here, don't we?
We feel very proud to be part of it.
Mark has the microphone. If anybody has any questions you'd like to pose to Hannah, raise your hand and he will bring it around to you. Or just shout.
First of all, thank you again for letting us enjoy this exhibit. I've enjoyed it immensely. One quick question is, in reflection, do you have a particular artist or piece of art that just keeps pulling at your heart that you wish you could have brought back?
That is such a good question. And I do have an answer to that. But before I say that, this is funny because Joel Sager, who's one of the gallery owners, on our last day in Cuba, sat down with all of us and said, what is your favorite piece that we've acquired and what's the one that got away? And we all had the same one that got away.
Oh.
And that is the only one that anyone went back for. And Amy and I had to go and get export certificates and go on a wild goose chase. And Joel and Scott went back to one studio, which was that of Andy Yanez Bulto. And it was the piece that is on the front wall that's the very close face. That was the one that we were still thinking about. We had so much trouble deciding on Santiago's works. We brought 11, four of which are the larger and seven are from the smaller series. And it took us almost a whole day to land on what we would bring. All of his work is just stunning. I mean, it's just spectacular. There was a piece that was like in the final running, I think it was this one. And then this one that actually had tortoise shells sewn into the canvases all the way down both sides. And it was enormous. It was like 8 feet tall and just incredible. I'm still thinking about that. Probably I'm not the only one, but we'd had to narrow it down. So,
hi. Which ones have sold already?
They have red dots. And there are, the largest I think that is sold is The Dancer, which in some ways is an easy sell. I mean, it's a big, spectacular piece. It's maybe hard to fit into just any home, but
that's so beautiful.
It's just so beautiful. Yeah, just so many people have connected with it, so I'm pleased that it's going home. Many of the prints, it was neat to be able to have a range of prices because we had these original prints. So the prints are all originals, and many of them are actually hand-colored, so they are one of a kind. They're limited edition prints made directly by the artist, so it's not like they're like poster reproductions or something, but they are a lot less expensive, so they represent kind of the low end of a price range, and then there's like the enormous and spectacular pieces that are, it's harder to fit into a home or a budget. So I think the range has kind of helped, and really a lot of the prints have sold, and a couple of the larger, this one behind me was one of the first to sell. This is Michael Sotomayor, who's the young artist who did the blue landscapes also. This is from a different series of his, and it's been a favorite as well. I think actually at least one piece by every artist in the show has sold, which is nice. And
nice,
there are 15
yeah.
artists. So.
This is quite an interesting exhibition. Two things. One is, what was the time period that you were there? How long did you do your selection? Mm-hmm. And did you have any impediments in terms of trying to bring this art back to mm-hmm. the U.S.?
Well, I filled out, I was at one point I was keeping track of the number of pages of paperwork that I filled out by hand for the trip. And I think it was like 246 pages or something like that. And, you had to like fill out all these forms that were like in triplicate. And there was, I said, it was kind of like the DMV times 1,000. Like there was, it was a really elaborate system of like forms and bureaucracy that we went through, even just to like get the visas to go to do business, but then also to officially export the work. So that was kind of constant throughout the process. But our time there was only, we were only there for 4 days. So it was very, very intense, really, really long days. And that was a little over a year and a half ago. So then after getting back, you know, when we actually, I didn't get to say this on the air, but it was kind of funny. We, all of the larger canvases had to be unstretched. They were taken off the stretcher barge by the artist for us. We had one cardboard tube and like two little handled flat portfolios. So all of, every time we acquired a new work on canvas, it was unstapled, unstretched. We unrolled our roll, put it on the top, and rolled it back up really carefully. And that literally went with us in our big old cab all over Havana. We just like, we carried it with us and brought all of it back with just a couple of exceptions that shipped later. So, yeah.
Hello, long-time listener, long-time employee. my question is, you know, after having done this trip, how would you do the next trip to go find some artwork? Yeah. And also, where is the next trip?
Oh my gosh. I'm so glad you asked. We actually just took it.
All right.
But that's, it's hard though, because it's like, how do you top this project? It was, this was an incredible process. This is the first time we've done a spring special exhibit with a lot more programming and curation, you know, from start to finish. We do the December Masters exhibit every year. We'll be in the fifth year this time, but this is the first spring one, and we want to continue. So a couple months ago, I said, you know, you guys, like a year ago, we were in Cuba and we were like getting ready for the 2018 special exhibit. So we probably need to be thinking about the 2019 special exhibit about now, right? We ended up going to Asheville, North Carolina. We are thinking about the connection that is kind of little known between the Bauhaus and high modernism that came from Germany and abstraction as it took root in the U.S. And that was by way of an institution called Black Mountain College that was outside of Asheville in the tiny town of Black Mountain from 1933, I think, to 1957. The Albers came directly from the Weimar Bauhaus when it was dismantled by the Nazis, came straight to Asheville, you know, and were on the founding faculty of this college. And like every major name, in, like Clement Greenberg was there, but Rauschenberg and Motherwell and Frankenthaler and just like the major names of abstraction in the U.S., went through Black Mountain College. And so realizing that there's this connection, not just between the Bauhaus and those like modernist artists here, but then that was at the root of a lot of how abstraction took form in the U.S. and uniquely became a uniquely American as it became abstract expressionism and kind of on from there. Yeah, we're thinking about that. So we're actually, I think that we'll do something that involves that lineage. So I hope that we'll be able to get work maybe by the Albers or by some of the founding faculty, those like high modernist teachers, and then from this like intermediate generation of abstract expressionists, and then from contemporary artists who are influenced by them, and so that there's a lineage represented. I think it'll be an interesting story. If anybody has ideas for the one after that, tell me, because it's going to be hard. It'll be hard.
Obviously, a big thanks to Hannah and to Joel and everybody with Sager Bodice Gallery. You've been marvelous.
Well, thank you.
Been marvelous, house. We've had a good time.
Well, thanks very much. Thank you, guys.